The first reading is taken from Joshua chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. And that's on page 208. God commands Joshua to conquer Canaan. After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses' helper, Joshua, son of Nun. He said, "My servant Moses is dead. Get ready now, you and all the people of Israel, and cross the river Jordan into the land that I am giving them. As I told Moses, I have given you and all my people the entire land that you will be marching over. Your borders will reach from the desert in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the great river Euphrates in the east, through the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. Be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land which I promised to their ancestors. Just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." Thanks be to God.
The Bible reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, reading from verses 22 to 32. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up the hill by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, and by this time the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves, because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples, walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking in the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "How little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshipped Jesus. "Truly you are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is the word of God. Thank you.
Do not be afraid. I expect that by now you've gathered that this is our theme for the service this morning. We've thought about what we are afraid of and how we deal or don't deal with that. And we've looked in the Bible to see how many times we can find the phrase, "Do not be afraid," or "fear not." Sylvia tells us that somebody has sat down and counted how many times, and it comes 366 times. So you've got one for every day of the year, plus one for luck, or a leap year. Right. So what does this tell us? I think, first of all, that being afraid is part of human nature. But secondly, more importantly, God does not want us to live in fear. There are different types of fears, of course. Some fear is good to have. and helps to keep us safe. After all, it is sensible to be afraid of poisonous snakes, fierce dogs, particularly when you're collecting for Christian Aid, right? Unguarded fires, realistic fears, fears that preserve us. They're good fears to have. But then there are other sorts of fears, which are more in the mind. What happens if I lose my job, I lose my home, somebody dies, I'm left alone, I'm ill? The fears in the mind can be more terrifying than those we actually meet. They can paralyze us and make us unable to live our lives. But God cares about all the worries and concerns that we have, and he does not want us to live in fear. Our second reading this morning was from the Gospel of Matthew and was the story of Jesus walking on water. Just to set the scene, this event comes immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. It had been a long day for Jesus. That morning, he had heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been executed on the orders of King Herod. He had wanted to go off on his own to grieve and to pray. But the local people had heard that he was in the area, and a huge crowd followed him. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw the crowd, he was filled with compassion. And he spent the rest of the day until a late afternoon preaching and healing. Then came the miracle of turning the 5 loaves and the 2 fish into enough to feed this huge crowd. Only after all that did Jesus have the opportunity to be on his own to pray. We are told that he made the disciples get into their boat and go on ahead to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people away. Perhaps the disciples were reluctant to leave Jesus on his own, but that is clearly what Jesus wanted. He needed time with his Father to pray and to seek comfort, guidance, and support. Time passes. A violent storm has arisen on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are struggling against the wind and the waves and being tossed and turned about. Even for experienced sailors, it must have been a very frightening experience. By this point, it was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So the disciples had been rowing for hours and were surely getting quite exhausted. Then, through the lashing waves and the wind, they see a figure walking over the water towards them. No wonder they thought it was a ghost. No wonder they screamed with fear. But no, it was Jesus. Somehow he had known that they were in trouble, and he was coming to save them. "Courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." And yet, the disciples were still not quite sure that this ghostly apparition was Jesus. Peter, as usual, is the one to act first. "Lord," he says, "if it's really you, order me to come out on the water to you." In the circumstances, that seems rather a strange thing for Peter to say. Surely it would have been better to remain in the boat and to have waited for Jesus to get in. Jesus had already demonstrated to the disciples his power to calm a storm. We know that from another well-known story from the Bible. Was Peter testing Jesus? Or was he reacting in faith? Given what we know about Jesus, it seems more likely that he was impetuously reacting in faith. He wanted to join Jesus and be part of that miraculous action of walking on water. But having stepped out of the boat, he finds it's not as easy as he thought. The waves are still wild, the wind is still blowing, and fear overcomes him. He takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cries. And, of course, Jesus does. He reaches out and he grabs hold of Peter. And then the rebuke. "How little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" Then Jesus and Peter get into the boat, and the wind, without any command from Jesus, dies down. The disciples are amazed, awestruck. They worship Jesus and exclaim, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So what lessons can we learn from this story? I think, first of all, that Jesus made time to pray. He needed time alone with his Father to gain strength, support, and guidance. And if it was necessary for Jesus, how much more so for us? We need to make time for prayer, no matter how busy our lives may be. Secondly, that Jesus knows when we need help, and he will be there to save us. We may not literally have to walk on water through stormy seas, but we do have to travel through difficult times in our lives. If we focus on our problems, worries and concerns, rather than Jesus, we too may be overcome by fear and anxiety and begin to sink. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, no matter how stressful life might be. We may start out with good intentions, but sometimes, like Peter, our faith falters when things get rough. That is when we need to reach out to Jesus and shout, if necessary, "Save me, Lord." Finally, if we don't get out of the boat, we will never walk on water. Peter getting out of the boat to walk on water may well be viewed as foolhardy. However, his faith in Jesus enabled him to take that brave action. He foundered when he took his eyes off Jesus, but nevertheless he was willing to take the first step. So this morning, let us think, is God calling you or me to step outside our comfort zones, to try something different, to develop hidden skills, to open up a whole new life adventure? Perhaps it could be something simple he wants us to do, but could lead to a whole new understanding for us. Could it be speaking to a friend or a colleague about our faith? Could it be leading the prayers in church or taking up a new leadership role? Maybe it's a change of direction, perhaps jobs-wise, or even moving to a different part of the country. Whatever it is that God wants us to do, we can remember and we can be assured that we don't need to be afraid. Loving Father, let us pray. Loving Father God, we know that you have a plan for each one of us, irrespective of how old or young we are. Help us to be open to your guidance. Help us not to live weighed down by anxieties or fears. Instead, through your power and love, may we be freed to live our lives to the full in your service. Amen.